Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as a used book guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
Mike's a bad man. I want to start off the recording with that.
Well, what is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Mike sitting next to Johnny. And yes, I am a bad man, as you heard, because I didn't tell him the topic and I kind of made him come up with one. And then I said, don't waste your time. So today's topic, and I'm going to make Johnny go first.
Let's keep on hitting.
Since he says I'm a bad man. What would make you quit reselling? And if you had to quit reselling in any way, shape, or form, what else would you move on to in your life?
Reselling. If I had to quit reselling, I'd probably just do another small business of some kind. I probably swing into... I might try YouTube and do some movie reviews and do that. Sounds like fun.
What's going to make you quit, though?
What would make me quit? No money, negative money. I mean, that is a determining factor. I love reselling. The fact I get paid to do it is wonderful. But at the end of the day, if it pays me no money, it's just a hobby at that point, and I need to live. So I got bills. So the hobby has to go away, and I have to put on a business attire and go do that, whatever that is. But for me, it'd be another small business. If I weren't doing YouTube funsy stuff and 7-year grind at that, because that's typically the average before somebody makes it, I'd probably do some either a moving business or no, that's probably what I would do.
Yeah, because you can't do a moving business unless you're not. I guess if you're talking just moving, like not like cleanouts, because cleanouts then you just wind up right back in reselling because you got all this junk you want to get rid of.
No, I've done that. I did that before in my 20s. I'd probably hire a couple guys to do the manual labor part, and I would be more of logistics and routes and all of that and bookings.
I agree with it. The only caveat I have is even if it is making money, if it's too much work, I'm out, Johnny. Like, even if it is making me some shekels here and there, and it's like, hey, Mike, you got to be working from like 8 to 10 every day, like 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., and like I'm barely paying my bills, like that is no life to lead. And I think a lot of resellers fall into that trap of just spinning their wheels, spending a lot of time. But you are right. Like, you got to make money. And it's weird to think about, you know, what happens if we can't resell no more, because at the end of the day, I mean, think about how many different things have happened, like with brands over the year. Like, you can't sell this brand, you can't sell that brand, you can't sell this type of stuff, you can sell this type of stuff. It's always changing. And, you know, it's kind of cool to see like what else you would do. For me, what else I would do besides reselling, it'd be tough, right? Like, I do inspire, and I have been working on other YouTube channels that are not related to reselling at all. So that is something I 100% would double down on. I would definitely do like more influencer content based on, you know, the influencer program and the money I know you can make off of that, and the money I have made off of that without doing a lot of work. I think there's so much opportunity to still make a lot of money. And I won't say it's not a lot of work, but it's a lot less work than working, you know, a job as like a trash man or like a heavy labor intensive job. I think it kind of benefits us that we have the internet in the way that it is, because it allows us opportunities that previous generations never had to be able to make income. Like, think about these kids that have like these YouTube channels, right? Like that Ryan kid or whatever, like he's just making millions and millions and millions of dollars just from like content creation. Like, that would be the route I would go. It just wouldn't be content creation around reselling or around myself. It would be around more popular things going on, which in turn should increase your revenue when you build kind of a YouTube channel out that way. But I'm also like, I mean, vending machines, I guess that's reselling though, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty easy business. Once you get to the suppliers and the machines cost money. That's probably the biggest upfront expense. The suppliers and paying them to restock the machines for you, not a big deal. You have to go around with a bucket to get out the change and the dollar bills, right? And then you got to bring them back home, put them in this coin counting and dollar machine, the bankroll, quarter rolls. And then you go up to the teller and she hates you. But it's definitely a viable business and people can make a lot of money that way, actually. It's a good business model. And that's kind of like reselling, except you're selling new chips and candy
Yeah.
bars.
But then again, I guess you could say anything is reselling, right? Like
Right.
any business we're usually buying, unless it's like a service-based business, like you're saying,
Sure.
like moving or like landscaping. But I'm not too big into like I think landscaping is a great opportunity. I just don't know enough about it and I have no idea about anything when it relates to that. So I need something like that I'm a little bit passionate about that I can still make good money on. And like landscaping wouldn't be it for me. Like I'm passionate about food, but I suck at food. So like if I started a food truck, like I would enjoy myself, but it wouldn't make no money.
Yeah, I had a land, well, a quote unquote landscape business, more a lawn care business in my teenage years. I made good money. I was making like $500 a week. That was really good money. But yeah, I had mowing lawns, edge work, bush care. We couldn't like route out a koi pond for you or anything like that. Just general lawn maintenance care. It went really well. I had a lot of clients in several neighborhoods. It was just me as one man show, me and my truck and my equipment, pretty much. And that was good for a teenager, honestly. Really good money. There's all kinds of opportunity out there. I mean, and then getting into retail is always kind of fun. I plan to do brick and mortar with inside reselling. Would I do brick and mortar in and of itself with no reselling? That'd be a hard thing to swallow. I got to be moved into a high traffic area and I got to be, whatever I'm selling has to be banging. Like people want it, they need it, they're compelled to buy it kind of deal.
I think I also would approach it a little bit different. I would look earlier in my new business for ways to streamline things and kind of I would try to pick a business model where I didn't always have to be the sole person that made the whole business move, right? Because what we do now, if me or Johnny don't feel like going to work for the next month, not per se, you're not going to go to work in your other business, but if we don't go out and source, we don't go out and run the routes, we don't pack the boxes, the business stops growing, the business stops making money. So that definitely would be something on my mind is, okay, is this business something after I get it off the ground and it's profitable? If I hire an employee, is it going to take a large part of the workload off me? And is there a lot of training that goes into having this employee do everything I did? Because it's next to impossible to train somebody to understand, the scouting screens and kind of have the same knowledge base we do in this reselling business that we currently have. So I would look for something, like perfect example would be like lawn care. Anybody can just grab the damn mower and go mow the lawn, right? Like we're not talking about things that are astronomically hard to figure out. I think that would also play a part in kind of what my next step would be.
What's up, Amazon sellers? We wanted to take a second to talk about GoToLister, the software me and Johnny both use to list and manage our inventory and grow our businesses. With the fastest listing speeds out there and built-in profit analytics, it's a no-brainer. Easily and quickly have items available for sale using 2D barcodes and get more for your items with its built-in smart pricing. Make sure to check out the 30-day free trial at gotolister.com/Mike or using the link in the description below.
I've done consulting before. That's always interesting. I don't find it very satisfying though. The money's good, but I don't find it very satisfying because usually the person you're dealing with is drowning. And if it's long-term consulting, they're needy after a while. Like they're hiring you to do billable hours, but yet what they want to talk about is, I don't know, their relationship and how bad that's going, or problems with their animals and pets or whatever. And it's like, you're paying me to help you give you business advice. And it's hard for me to do that when you want to talk about your failing relationships. Because I'm not a therapist or a relationship counselor. I'm here to talk about business. I'm not a veterinarian either. So what do you really, I guess I'll take your money. I got nothing.
Curious, what are some things you think would cause like the idea of you reselling to just kind of stop in their place, like a huge shift in the market where like people just stop buying used goods for whatever reason, or like an absolute like overflow of inventory in the category you sell in, which would make you to just kind of pivot 100%. It's tough to kind of pinpoint what can make it go boom, but there's a lot of things that can make it go boom. As stupid as that sounds, like there's a lot of things that could happen that kind of just blow up our whole business model, right? Like we've already seen it over the years, like the cost of thrift stores, right? Like if you're the person today that just goes to thrift stores, if you look at yourself, your business today than where it was 2 years ago, a year ago, your cost, your margins are getting smaller. The margins are getting smaller any way we shape it. You know, every year fees go up. If fees don't go up, shipping's going up. There's always rising costs across the board. So technically, we are working towards that point, Johnny, of sooner or later, the margin is zero, which means we're making no money.
Yeah, I mean, looking at it from outside of getting feed out, I mean, there's other things I've seen crop up over the years, and these are more, I think, buying ploys than a real concern, honestly. Shop local, made in America, veteran owned. These are more upsells to their business because they want you to buy, quote unquote, in-house, whatever rooftop you want to put yourself in. But it's more. It doesn't impact the market as a whole. Sure, people will be more incentivized to buy from that kind of person versus nebulous person over here, but that's a small percentage of those kind of buyers because most people don't care. They just want the item, whatever the item is. So I don't even think that's a ploy. It would have to be something, I don't
People
know.
stop shopping online for whatever reason.
Yeah, they stop shopping online or they only want to shop in retail again. I mean, I'm kind of seeing that like a retail resurgence because people are tired of getting stiffed online, or they miss it. They have that nostalgia thing. Like, remember
Yeah,
when we used to
dude.
go to the mall and hear
I
the
love
mall
malls.
music?
Me and Dev love going to the malls, but they're all like dead. It's like there's more.
Suncoast, Spencer's
Yeah.
Gifts, back when GameStop wasn't as publicly heinous as it was, and
Yeah.
even had arcades and stuff. So the mall was the place to be. I don't think there's a place to be anymore that's like the cultiest thing I could see right now is probably Starbucks. That's the place to be to get your morning coffee. And everybody's in line and everybody's in this uniformed. I hate lines, but I need my Starbucks coffee. So there's some uniformity there amongst those people. But I don't see the whole mall. Like, what are you doing this weekend? I don't know. I'm just going to the mall. You don't see that anymore. That doesn't exist.
I definitely would start a business too where the overhead costs in the beginning or even in the middle of the business would not be high, right? That's why I enjoy reselling,
Yeah.
is it allowed me to be a little bit of financially free when it comes to my money, because you can keep costs down, you can manage everything, and that's the benefit of Amazon, right? You don't need to store your stuff, no packing supplies besides the boxes you're throwing it in. So I definitely would go the route of a business where I didn't have to have 50 grand to start it, right? I want something where I can just be, you know, I can just go buy a used mower, push mower, get a few clients and build upon it. Something like that kind of business would appeal more to me, right? In the beginning of anything, you got to sink your time in, right? Like you start anything in the beginning, it's probably going to be where you're going to be spending the long days trying to grow the business, trying to grow the client list, whatever that may be. So you have to understand that sacrifice, but I don't think it's smart to jump into a brand new business and just throw, you know, 50K at it, or take out a crazy business credit, you know, credit line to kind of get something going, and you don't even know if there's any proof of concept that it's going to work.
Right. And then would you consider getting anything like manufacturing or something you make yourself to sell?
Yeah, I mean, you can go, I guess you can go that route. I mean, it's like your own product, kind of like Shark Tank, right? You show up and you got the next coolest gadget, the next scrub daddy, and I mean, I wouldn't consider that reselling. That's just you coming up. That's like you being an inventor and developing a product. I don't have any cool ideas. Do you have any cool ideas you would like to share?
I mean, no, I don't have any cool ideas. I manufacturing is an interesting thing, and even then, it would probably be pushed toward online selling, like on the various marketplaces. It'd be very hard to manufacture and sell local or sell at retail, because even people like, I don't know, Hexclad, they make cookware, right? But they still pump a bajillion dollars out, or the Ridge Wallet guy, they pump a bajillion dollars out in ad spend for their physically made product.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a physically made product, so I don't think that would classify as, being a resale. I mean, I think the only way you kind of get into reselling is like you're doing something that's mass produced, like 3D printing, and everybody has access to that, right? Like everybody, me and you can go print the same things. Then that's reselling. But if you have your own product, your own, I guess, brand, right? Like then I wouldn't consider that reselling. But you are right. Like it's gonna, no matter what you do, there's gonna be some capital spend. But in the beginning, you have to be as frugal as possible.
I probably do something book publishing route again, more indie style than what I was doing before, honestly, if I had to go back to that lifestyle.
Talking like KDP publishing or what?
No, I'd make physical products, print on demand probably, or bulk order from China product.
So you're going to be the guy that prints the books?
I've done it before. Do it again.
Oh, I'm interested. How does this work? You get a blank book from China, and then how does the
No.
machine print?
No. So a writer submits a work, and you take that work and you say it's shit. And you say, we're going to buy it anyway. And then we make all kinds of edits so it looks nothing like it did before it was submitted to us. We pay them by the word. Then it's going to go to layout and editing. And then after all that's done, and that takes probably, that's probably the second longest step. And then that gets shipped off to the printers after we decide how we want the book, because every book has a part number and it's a giant catalog. You wouldn't believe, like, just putting like a little gold gilting. There's a call number for that. So you got to know those numbers because you got to relay that to the English person who then relays that to the factory. And the factory produces these books. You get sent a proof. And if the proof looks good, then you make your bulk order for thousands and thousands of units. That takes a little bit of time to make. And then it gets put on a boat. And then it gets stuck at the US port. And you wait a while. And then it gets loaded on a truck. And then it arrives. And then you sell it wherever you want to sell it.
So, all right, I'm fill me in here. So I give you something I wrote. I wrote a book. I wrote a novel, right? I give you it. When it gets published, is it in my name or your name? Are you buying the rights from me?
I would be buying the rights from you, and you would get your name would be on the front of the book as the author. And early on, we did royalties. We didn't do that toward the end. We just paid you per word flat out. And depending on your caliber of writing, like how many works you had, that could be up to 2 cents to 5 cents, and in some situations, 15 cents a word. So they're inclined to make it beefy, right? We pay them
Yeah.
for all of that. We pay them for their work and labor. But once it hits editing, we'll make whatever changes we deem necessary to make it sell. And so we can, it's not a complete rewrite. Your vision is still there. And sometimes we may consult you on it, but most of the time we don't. And then we make whatever editorial changes we need to spruce it up or cut things out we don't need. But again, you got paid for the full thing up front. And then, after content editing, it would go to grammatical editorial, while commas are in the right place, periods where they need to be. And then you go to format editing, like spacing, margins, and stuff like that. Cover designs and other aspects. So you got to pay a cover artist. And then you got to make a PDF version of this thing in most cases. But that's generally how it works. A project like that could take anywhere between 6 and 8 months to complete, from the time you sell it to us, the time it arrives off the truck that came from China.
What are if you remember, like what were the margins like?
Really depend on project to project, but we were a $10 million a year company. That's top line. That isn't net, but
Yeah.
yeah, we had a staff of about 50 people between contract workers and other various tasks. It was mainly a contractor because we'd have repeat artists we would use. We'd have repeat writers we would use, layout, editing, whatever. And we did some other things outside of that on the manufacturing thing too. Because you got warehouse storage and warehouse shipping because, well, we got pallets and pallets of books. What do we do with them now? We did our stuff mainly on Kickstarter. So it's basically a fancy pre-order store. So we had money to pay for the purchase order because we never really made an order until it ended. Like we had the money to fulfill the order.
Yeah.
And but we would do all the work up until that point. Like we do the base editing and all that. And if we had a little money extra over, we may pay for a fancier cover. That was usually the last thing we did before it got shipped over to final layout and editing and got off to China to come to us.
I got a crazy one for you. I'm curious if you were interested in my proposal, sir.
No.
Cash out everything you have today. Sell everything you own. Fill a suitcase. Take your money. Go live comfortably in a different country where the dollar is worth a lot more than it is here in the United States. And basically retire today on your bank account and your asset value, your net worth today in a different country.
So open up a tiki bar in Fiji is what you're saying.
You could open up a tiki bar. You could just sit on the beach all day. I mean, it's a real possibility. I've seen shows where people go to these other countries and, that you can live like top 1% in that country spending $100 a month. And I mean, it wouldn't take a lot of money to just say, hey, I'm moving to XYZ country and, I'm gonna figure out something there. And imagine if you had a remote job over there making US dollars. In one of those countries, you could sustain your lifestyle and kind of live sh a stress-free life.
Okay, since I've actually done research into this, the issue there is your US dollar is heavily taxed if you're putting it in the other country's banks, like funneling it over there to spend. That's why they say initially bring the first $9,999 with you in cash when you fly over there, because you're getting taxed to funnel your money. That happens in most countries. They're taxing your US dollars to come into their foreign market, essentially. They get their piece of your money, which is fair. So there's all they also have different taxes and stuff. Like some have extreme health care. So if you're still producing money, this isn't your retirement money, and it's coming in, you're gonna get taxed on that, especially if you're offering your services or whatever that is in that country. It could be anywhere between 30%, maybe sometimes 40%, depending on the country. However, your core thing that you're saying does in fact work. Your dollar stretches longer there, as long as your dollar arrives there. If that makes sense and isn't heavily taxed after. Would I want to do that? I would not want to like be in retirement mode. I would need something like that tiki bar. I would need something to mess around with. Maybe I'd make wooden boats or something. I don't know. I would need projects to do because I'm not the guy. I'm not the kind of guy and stop and smell the roses or just sit on a beach. I consider for me, and I'm nothing wrong with people who like this, but I consider it a waste of time.
It's funny because if you think about like the median or like what we consider poverty in the US, it like puts you in like the top 1 or 2% of incomes in the whole world. So I always thought to myself, like, man, some people literally are working 80 hours a week, can barely make their bills. And if they had this money just in a different country, it just looks a little bit different, maybe has a different language and it's a few thousand miles away. Like, you would actually be able to live a comfortable, stress-free life and not have to worry about everyday bills piling up and feeling like you're never going to be able to retire. You're never going to be able to get ahead.
Right. I live in Texas and we have a, what do you call it? A Mexican, it's like a restaurant and a hardware store in one. It's really weird. But anyway, at the back of the register, they have all these prepaid phone cards for them to call back home. And a lot of those guys, they send the majority, they live poor in the US. They get paid good money for what they do because they do a lot of manual labor jobs that you or I would not know how to do, first of all, nor would want to do. So they get paid really well for that. But they intentionally choose to live a poor lifestyle to send majority of their money back home to their families. Their trip to the US is planned to be short term and they plan to retire. Like I had a guy, his name is Jose. He built my shed out back. It's beautiful. All the drywall. He added on an extra wing to it. Beautiful. And I talked to him extensively about that. Because that restaurant thing, that's where I found him. But he did probably the most, and he built my cabinets in my kitchen as well. Beautiful work. But he said probably he keeps about 20% of his money to live on, and 80% of it went back home to his family. And I was like, "When's the last time you've seen your family?" I go once a year on a trip to see them. But I've been here for about 15 years. But on year 20, and that was a couple years ago, I was like, "I'm retiring, and I'm gonna not worry or work ever again. That was his plan, and it worked out. He did it. He did the 20-year run, the
It's
20-year US run.
crazy to think about, man. Like, a lot of people have
And I miss him
obligations.
because I have a lot of projects I would have loved for him to do.
We a lot of people have obligations here in the States, but I mean, it's a real reality, and I know a lot of people kind of go down that route, and we never even really think about it being an opportunity. But you could take your net worth here in the United States, and you could, live comfortably off, what you have here, even though here it's not a lot, right? Like, we would think to yourself, like, man, I don't have a lot of money. Maybe I only got $5,000. Well, in some other countries, and they're not all shitholes, like, you could live off that $5,000 for 5, 10 years easily, comfortably. And here you are still spinning your wheels, working, working, working. And yeah, it was just another kind of angle I had for what you
No,
possibly could do.
it's a legitimate angle. And he put his mother-in-law in probably the best health care they had to offer there. He had three homes, one for his kids. He had a beach home and a regular home for him and his wife. But he bought an extra home just for the kids if they ever needed it, just like a redundancy, spare emergency, you screwed up somewhere in life or life stepped on you kind of scenario. He lived a very comfortable life, and I think you can do the same. If you plan ahead to do that, like he planned for 20 years here in the States. If we plan, okay, I'm going to work 20 years here in the States and I'm going to go off to, I don't know, somewhere in Eastern Asia where you can live very, very well in Eastern Asia or somewhere in South America, you can live very, very well. Now there's the arguments of like crime and do I really trust their healthcare system? I don't want them to use rusty razors on me. And all these red flags, but if you're self-conscious of this and you do your research and your due diligence, you can figure your way out. Retiring in the United States is really, really hard.
It
Because
is.
they keep pushing the bar further, further out each year. It gets harder and harder each year to obtain. That's why Mike and I harp on you. Start saving now. Get your IRAs, your stock portfolio, money in the bank, cash money in the bank. Maybe you want some tangibles like gold, silver, or copper laying around. Start investing now because it takes an exorbitant amount of time to get your asset portfolio built up.
Yeah, you're 100% right. Even if it's a little bit, you have to start planning for the future. And and if reselling does go away, we'll find something else. Every single person listening to this, you'll find your path, right? You'll find your way through it. Whether that's another business, whether that's going to work a job that isn't as miserable as CVS was or Macy's for me, you'll find a way, because winners win and losers lose. I'm a firm believer, if you're willing to put in the time, no matter what it is, you're going to get results. So whether that's working a job and showing up 5 days a week, or whether that's starting another business from the ground up that you have no idea if it's going to work out, I do believe that the people that win are going to win, and the people that lose are going to lose. And there's a clear, distinctive difference between them, because the people that are losing are always looking for a reason to blame everybody else around them, instead of kind of just looking in the mirror and saying, here's exactly what I need to do to get to where I need to be, instead of saying, well, Johnny controls where I'm going to be and what I'm going to do. And unfortunately, a lot of people think that, oh, there's a new president, it's the end of times. Or, oh, there's a new president, this is the greatest ever. It's got no, the White House is not your house, right? So it's like, you have to take care of yourself, and don't let anything that doesn't directly correlate to you getting the job done have an influence on it, right? Like, sure, I could sit here and Johnny can tell me, hey, Mike, you're an idiot. Why did you buy 6,000 DVDs the other
Yeah,
day?
like, why?
I'm just
Why?
like, cool, Johnny. Here, I'm gonna give you a 5 second spiel. It's none of your damn business. And I'm gonna go scan my DVDs, and I'm gonna send in my DVDs. And yeah, it's good to have people that you want to listen to in your life and kind of can give you direction if you need it. But at the end of the day, it all boils down to you. If you're not going to do it, you're not going to do it. If you're going to do it, you're going to do it. And I think it's hard to be the person that goes from, all right, I'm used to getting the job done, to being the person that doesn't get the job done, and vice versa. You're the person that never gets the job done, to all of a sudden you're trying to transform into this person that always gets the job done.
Yes. Gonna say it. Work ethic has a long way to go with it. And I'm not talking about hours when I say work ethic. It's just when you're clocking in, you put in your best work until you clock out. The hours don't matter there, as long as it's quality work when you do, in fact, work. That'll get you ahead in dividends. I mean, we talk about efficiencies and processes, but that's what I'm talking about right now with quality work, whenever you do it. And I think people need to think on this topic, overall topic we're talking about, is what's your exit plan? What you're not going to be doing this when you're 95 years old. Good for you if you live to 95, by the way. But still, if you're that 95-year-old guy in the nursing home with his laptop open and say, "Nurse, I need you to pack this order. Nurse, come pack my order." I think something went wrong along the way, personally, if you got to be doing that.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, you're right. You got to have an exit strategy, and it doesn't have to be a lavish one. It doesn't have to be, you're going to retire a trillionaire. Just do what's comfortable for you, right? That's what I tell everybody. Just get ahead while you can, because like Johnny said, we can't continue at our I can't continue to fill the car up with books and unload the car full of books for the next, 50 years of my life. Like it's not feasible. No matter if I'm in the best shape of my life when I'm 70 years old, 80 years old, like it's not feasible. And at that point, should you have accumulated enough that you're no longer required to fill the car with books is my argument. But like Johnny said, you still want to stay active, right? Like sure, right? Johnny already said he's moving to Mexico. He's printing books somewhere. I'm probably headed to the Philippines somewhere, right? I'm taking my money. We're out of here. You never hear from us again. But it's kind of cool to have the conversation around, well, if you can't resell, what are we going to do, right? Like, what's our plan? Are we going to get a job? I'm never going to work another retail job in my life. I'm going to put a personal guarantee. We can revisit this video in 50 years, and
You're not going to come help me run the bookshop, Mike?
there is no, you got to give me some type. I'm not working in the store. I will never work retail again. There is no chance, no shot. That is one. What's one thing you would never do again that you have done?
IT work. That's brutal. I've done IT work just because there's nobody in the company that was qualified, and I was kind of forced to do it. I didn't go to school for it, had no desire for it, but it's something that landed in my lap as part of my job duties because I was technically the most technically inclined person to do it or tackle it. Should we have hired a real person? Yeah, but we wanted to save some pennies, so it fell on me. That's horrible work. Well, it's horrible if you don't like it. If you're into that, good for you. I'm not one of those people. Looking at the back end of a website, figuring out what's broken, and trying to troubleshoot, fix it for hours, 8 hours, 16 hours, overnight. Because if your website's down, you're making no money. I want to make money, so the website's got to go back up. Who's going to fix it? Me. That's rough. That is rough. Never again.
I don't know. Like, if I could be one, what would be a crazy dream if I could pay you right now, say 250K a year to do any job you wanted to in the universe? What would it be?
I probably open up a game store with other nerds and do retail that way.
Fair enough.
I like games and stuff and playing and all that kind of not video games, analog, physical.
I don't know for me, man. It's hard. You kind of came up with that pretty quick. I didn't have enough time to think about my response to it. I would have some type of maybe like a for-profit, like I don't not cat breeding, right? I know I'm not in, but like a cat adoption, like kind of
Okay.
place people can go to and adopt cats, but somehow I would make 250K a year, right? Like if I just had like a
I thought
trust
you were just
fund.
giving me money. You didn't say it had the business itself had to make money.
No, yeah, it does. It's just like a trust fund. You get
Okay.
250K a year and you can do whatever the
Just
hell
do
you want
whatever I
with it.
want. Yeah.
Yeah, I just hang out with the cats all day with Dev, and every once in a while a cat gets adopted and I take my 250K and live comfortably.
You have like one of those like inside soccer stadiums with like real grass for them to run around in.
Just let them run wild. It's fun to have this conversation, man, because listen, I said it before, I'll say it again. I don't want to resell forever, dude.
That's rough.
I could see in some capacity, right? Like maybe part-time, just so I can stay out there and see the cool items, right? At that point, I have a house. I'm well invested into retirement, and maybe I have a small collection of things I think are cool, right? Like I could see that definitely being an option. But a full-time capacity for the next 30 years of my life reselling, I don't know, man. Like, I make good money doing it and I enjoy doing it for the time being, but I just know the market's going to shift so much. I mean, we talk about it, how much things change from a day-to-day basis. So the idea that this business,
Well, go ahead. Finish your thought.
I don't even know if reselling will exist in a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, and 30 years. By then, you should have enough money that you don't have to really depend on it as a full-time income.
Right. I mean, just look at what happened. Was it? It was either 1 or 2 years ago. We all got this email. We're no longer taking books at Amazon. So they have a nuclear launch code per category, I'm guessing, because the toy guys got it like 7 years ago of we don't want you to sell your product anymore. They're ready to terminate you. They're pre-planned to terminate you. They hired somebody to write those emails. They're ready to shut things down whenever they seem fit.
That's the job I want. I want to be the guy that hits the big red button and just
Send the
launches.
email. They're all fired. All of them.
Everybody's gone. I don't want to hear or see nothing. Yeah, it is it's crazy. We live in crazy times. Take advantage of this opportunity today. That is why we've done this podcast for 2.5 years now, is to get you off your butt, to make a little bit of money, to get you in a better situation, so in case you have to pivot, in case you no longer can resell, or in case you just want to retire, you can do it comfortably and not have to worry about all the stressors of life. Johnny, any final thoughts on this crazy world of if we didn't have to resell, what we would do?
Yeah, I mean, be proactive of what we're talking about here. I encourage everybody listening just to pull out a notebook or a note card, or if you don't believe in the physical, pull out Microsoft Word or Notepad or something. Make a short list of what you want to do for fun, like we were talking about, and where do you want to end up? Like, how do you want to retire? Like, is it the forever home, your last car kind of deal. What does that look like? And then add up all the billable numbers. Or like we just said, if you want to open a tiki bar or a game store or a Habitat for Cats, cat manatee kind of place. Add up all those numbers. What does it take to get there? And those are your end goals. So focus on getting to your end goals. I think that's a good proactive task. And then you can visualize it and like, huh, I am not on track to achieve that. I need to get my ass in gear. Or you know what? I don't have to work as long as I thought. It's not so far off. Because if you've never done that exercise before, you don't know. You're just guessing. You may think it's a bajillion dollars, but it's only, oh, it's half a bajillion dollars. That's not so bad.
I'm gonna sell veggie dogs. I'm gonna have a veggie dog stand
Veggie
somewhere
dogs.
in a third world country, and I'm just gonna tell people it's hot dogs. They won't even know that they're veggie dogs, and I'll be like, "Man, you got the
They
best hot
taste different
dogs."
though. They're gonna know.
They won't know, dude. I'll even have like the veggie chili sauce, right? So it's like the fake ground beef, right? Like I'll have everything, and nobody will ever know. It'll be my little secret. I'll just be some. Listen, next time somebody's on vacation in one of these countries and you see a little guy, a little old guy selling hot dogs in quotation marks on the corner, hey, just saying, anything's a possibility. That's going to do it for this week's episode. We appreciate you listening or watching over on YouTube.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.